they invented champagne. Night they invented. Nothing disturbed a little warm.
So there you are, Percy.
Oh, hello, darling. I say you look positively radiant tonight.
Don't you positively radiant me? Oh. This is becoming a habit, isn't it?
Oh, now, Hyacinth.
It's got to stop, Percy. Every evening this week the same. You come in at midnight and in that condition.
That was an excerpt from 12 o'clock high. Another in our series, A Film Worth Remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Jefferson Finch and his death-defying saxophone, Miss Martha Tidville, the Society for Cultural Relations with Gateshead, Chappersley Hargreaves Kai Wong, Edie Egwisk.
She's a bit of a mixer.
To continue, Hawkeye Goldberg and the last of the Mo Coens. Old Trafford Blacklock. And of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show that most people have heard on and off. And most of them prefer it off. However, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I decided to get a few things I still hadn't got for my garden. So I popped into my local nurseries. They had rows and rows of beautiful flowers there, but the ones I liked were in a group all by themselves. The chap said they were known as the lone hydrangeas. Which at one time I thought was rather amusing. Gone off it since. On Wednesday, I had to go over to Paris, so I took my pet budgerigar Happy with me. We went across by boat. Well, he's not too keen on flying. And I must say, everyone was rather curious. I suppose it is a little unusual, although it's not the first time I've taken a bird to Paris. I had a bit of bother with the customs at Dover. When they checked my luggage, they just couldn't understand why I was taking half a dozen bottles of wine with me. Until I explained that if you really enjoy a good wine, the best place to have it is in France. However, I got my affairs over there settled satisfactorily. I decided to give up my Paris company, that's Horn Enterprises Limited. They sell naughty English postcards. And I was back in town on Friday, and I popped into my club in Pall Mall. One thing I always enjoy after lunch there is the intellectual conversation in the lounge. Well, it hasn't changed at all. There's old Pudsey Waterhouse under a newspaper. He's always behind the times. And Humphrey Boreham Stiff in his favorite chair. Same as usual.
Here's his horn, a double brander.
Two brandies, please. I didn't mean to disturb you, Humphrey.
Not at all. I was having a pretty terrible dream anyway. Some wild party out in Hollywood and two film stars were fighting over me. Ghastly.
What's ghastly about that?
It was Mr. Magoo and Tweety Pie. I must have dozed off. I was just thinking about my speech. I like to be at my best when I appear in front of the public.
The public what?
Didn't I tell you, Horne? The youth club has asked me to give them a speech.
Oh, really? What's the subject matter?
That's what I told them. What's it matter as long as it's interesting?
Well, why don't you talk on your favorite subject?
Oh, I don't think they'd be interested in hearing about me.
No. I meant your adventures in India.
Ah, a splendid idea. I could start with my early regimental days. Got a lot of amusing stuff there. Like the time I nipped off up the Khyber without a pass.
Oh, they'll love that.
Yeah, I'll never forget when Bulldog the Boredom Stiff and I drank four officers' clubs dry and then threw the colonel into the swimming pool.
Bulldog Boredom Stiff, any relation?
My mother, sir. And then I could go on about my hunting trips.
Yes, you do go on about them, don't you?
Always remember shooting my first tiger.
Oh, you too.
Rather a wonderful thrill. Yes, Horns, a dash good idea. Time some of these young'uns heard about real adventure. We've lost the old pioneering spirit these days.
Well, I disagree, Humphrey. There's plenty of enterprise in the 20th century. What about Hillary's conquest of Everest? And more recently, there was that expedition to the Himalayas in search of unidentified creatures.
Oh, which one was that?
Have another brandy, and you shall hear all about it. The Quest for the Abominable Snowman, or Who Was That Yeti I Saw You With Last Night? It was in Lhasa, the capital of Tibet, that the members of the expedition assembled for final briefing from their leader, Captain Pogo Wentworth.
Well, so you're the lot who wish to share with me the dangers that lie ahead, huh? Now, does anyone want to back out?
No!
Pity, as I do. However, on an expedition like this, it's important that we all get to know each other frightfully well. Now, this is Professor Plunkett, F-R-I-S, F-R-I-S.
Oh, I no need to spell it.
And this is Sherpa Fred. He will say hello in Tibetan.
Hello in Tibetan.
This is Lorelei Medlicott.
Hello.
And finally, Mr. Quentin Peacock. You're some sort of writer, aren't you?
That's right, theatre critic of the Daily Digraph.
Theatre critic? I don't understand. Why should your paper have sent you out to the desolate wastelands of Tibet?
I gave a play a good notice.
Now, look here, we're wasting time. There's a long trek ahead of us. Now, here's the map. We'll set off across this plateau here.
Look, wouldn't it be better...
Belt up, Professor. I'm in charge of this expedition. Kind of remember that.
All right, Wentworth. There's no need to lose your temper. You must get up on the wrong side of Tibet this morning.
Now then, we have sufficient food supplies to reach the foot of the Himalayas.
Yes, but what are we going to do about food then?
There's a little Chinese restaurant to the north of Kathmandu. Sherpa, are the yaks loaded?
Oh, yes, sir. They have been on the booze all morning.
Oh, I say, aren't we taking that beautiful old shaggy thing along?
Of course Quentin's coming, aren't you?
She means the llama.
No, no, that'll not be necessary.
But why? Surely, I mean...
It's all right. There's no cause for alarm.
What's he saying?
Well, as far as I can make out, he said, well,
yes, I know all that. What does it mean?
Well, he said any more corny jokes like that and he's not going.
All right, everyone.
Now, just a minute, Wentworth. We can't go yet. There's something we must do before we leave.
What's that?
Listen to Janet Waters.
I'll take romance while my heart is young and eager to fly. I'll give my heart a try. I'll take romance. I'll take romance while my arms are strong. Young and eager and gay.
darling, I scan it. All right, Wentworth, let's go.
Good luck.
The quest for the abominable snowman is on. What did you say, Wentworth?
I said I wish they'd turn these sound effects down a bit.
Ah! Oh, that's better. It's a good job we made camp in time.
Oh, Quentin, what an adorable pair of blue pajamas.
Blue pajamas, nothing. It's me. Look at my hair, full of icicles.
I thought they were curlers. Yes.
Oh, it's bitter.
Stop shaking your head.
I can't help it. Oh, I'm shivering.
Oh, yeah, have a drop of scotch.
Thanks, no ice.
It's a pity we lost that equipment during the ascent. Where are we, anyway?
Right up the crevasse without an ice pick.
I wonder if we're anywhere near Shangri-La.
Shangri-what?
Shangri-La. The perfect place that everyone has been seeking for years. A valley of happiness where there is eternal sunshine and laughter, where there are no problems, but only enduring pleasure.
How do you know about it?
I read it in a holiday camp advertisement.
Cannot waste time searching for paradise. Remember, we are looking for the abominable snowman. Quentin, stick your head out of the tent and see what he's like.
Right here.
Ah! What is it? Have you seen something?
No, I've got my head stuck.
I don't get enough nap. Now. Now then, let's strike camp and move on.
I'll just sweep the ice and snow over.
Good girl. Let us leave the glacier as we would wish to find it.
Come on!
So the party struggled on over the vast frozen peaks of the Himalayas. They were up 1 minute and down the next.
It's no use. I can't go on. I'm done for.
Oh, poor Quentin. He's collapsed in a heap.
It's all right. It's only snow.
Together, man.
He's going fast.
He's going next week if he doesn't stop barking the same.
It's all right. I'm feeling better now.
Oh, look here. Darkness is falling. We'd better make camp.
Look. Look. There in the snow. A huge footprint. It must be him.
No. Not yet, eh? This footprint was made by a bear.
Oh, Captain, Captain, the yaks have disappeared.
What? The animal's gone? How? Why?
There's your answer, Wentworth. Look, that notice over there.
Oh, what does it say?
Go home, yaks.
Yes, Captain, something strange is happening. The ice. See, it is turning blue.
Oh, there must be those nasty little cracks in it.
Look out! Look out! The ice is giving way!
Oh, where am I? Wentworth. Are you all right? Wentworth, you've changed. You've gone all beautiful.
Hello. Handsome stranger. And lotus blossom. Here, let me smooth your brow.
Oh, thank you, Miss Blossom. Or is it Mrs. Blossom?
I do not understand.
Well, are you married?
Married? What is that?
You mean you don't know what marriage is?
No.
Well, tell me, have you ever heard of Adam Faith?
No.
Do you know what television is?
No.
So this is paradise.
Yes. You are in Shangri-La, where the sun shines all the time, where sweet fragrances pervade the air, and where the fruit gums are all black ones.
But where are my companions, Lotus Blossom?
There is Mr. Wentworth over there. See, he is talking to the young maiden taking a bath in goat milk.
Hello, I am Jasmine Petter.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Captain Pogo Wentworth. No, please don't get up.
Oh, you're nice, Pogo. Will you take a loving cup with me? It is a special rose petal tea, brewed with the magic perfumes of the Orient, flavored with exotic spices and the choicest essence of nectar.
As long as it's wet and warm, I'm not fussed.
Ah, there you are, Wentworth. Well, they were right. There is such a place as Shangri-La. Isn't it glorious here?
I know. I was just thinking I shall never go to Bognor again.
Hadn't we better be going?
Oh, no, no. You're not leaving.
I'm afraid we shall have to. Come on, Professor.
By the way, where's Chirper Fred?
He's with Armand Lil. She is taking care of him.
Or vice versa.
Chirper! We're ready to leave. Come on.
What? And miss all this Shangri-La-La? Not in your life.
But this is for Britain. Think of the Union Jack.
Never mind the Union Jack. I'm all right.
Oh, come on, Professor. We're wasting our time. We'll go on alone.
Further is it?
Not far. The last report of a Yeti was in this area. If we...
Wentworth!
What? What?
Look at those tracks.
Great Scott! Enormous! He must be a tremendous beast. Look out! There he is! The abominable snowman!
Good afternoon.
You're not.
Yes, I am. I'm the abdominal. I'm the abdominal. I'm the Yeti.
What a horrible hairy creature!
I am just jealous. Yeah, what? What happened to you anyway? Don't tell me. I know. You stood up in helicopter.
All right, Professor. Now come along. We must capture him.
Oh, no. Some messing about.
Quick! Quick! The net!
No, I don't want that. My ear's perfectly all right. Just a little bit windswept, that's all.
Ready! Right! Got him!
Yeah. Where are you taking me?
Back to England, my friend.
What's the weather like?
Don't worry, you'll feel at home. Well, Professor, we've done it. They'll be proud of us.
What an achievement, risking such dangers to bring the abominable snowman to Britain.
Yes, and we could so easily have stayed safely in that wonderful Shangri-La.
I can just imagine what they'll say.
What?
You must be dark, raving bonkers.
Well, so much for the Yeti, and now to our quartetti. Our resident songsters, the Hornets.
This old man, he played one. He played knick-knack on my drum. Knick-knack, daddy-whack, give the dog a bone. This old man. say, knick-knack on my door. Knick-knack, clatty-whack, give the dog a bone. This old man came rolling home. This old man.
Which old man?
Our old man is a different man. This old man, he played five. Got the bees a-buzzing round my hive. Hey, mister, late with that bone. Had to see the old man rolling. This old man, he plays six. He goes dancing for his kicks.
One, two, three, slow slide together. Towards us he steers.
He says he's been waltzing for 35 years. This old man, he played seven. He played knick-knack up in heaven.
Knick-knack, paddy-whack, give the dog a bone.
This old man came rolling home and he ended up playing eight.
Playing knick-knack on my gate. Knick-knack,
caddy-whack, give the dog a bone. This old man came rolling back to where there's no place like. This old man came rolling
home. So to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on leisure. Does the working man get enough rest?
And do the rest get enough work?
Come to think of it, does a small billiards player take a long rest when he's not playing?
That was Douglas Smith, and the operative word is was. Now, first, let's speak to this gentleman. Sir, how do you spend your spare time?
Well, speaking for myself personally, I spend most of my leisure hours playing tennis.
Do you, tennis, eh?
Tennis, yes.
Do you belong to a club?
Oh, yes, of course, yes. South Mimms Tennis and Squash Association. it so happens that I'm their star tennisser. They've christened me the Rosewall of South Mimms. At least, that is, until the last championship finals.
Oh, you were defeated.
Yes, I was. Most upsetting. You see, it was a most crucial stage in the match. We'd gone to deuce six times, both fighting for supremacy. My opponent served an ace, but I just got to it. And then I sent a cross-court forehand shot down the center. He sent up a lob. I sprang for an overhead smash. And, it was so embarrassing.
Well, what happened?
I lost the set.
Now, here's a lady. Madam, have you got any particular hobbies?
Oh, yes, you see, I'm very keen on knitting and swimming.
You really enjoy doing these things?
Oh, yes. Mind you, sometimes the wool gets a bit soggy.
Well, now, one of the most modern pursuits seems to be the craze for speed. And any evening you could see the black-leathered riders on their bikes up and down the North Circular Road and congregating in the transport cafes to talk of their achievements. We're going to meet one of them now. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Very nice of you to ask me up here.
Not at all. I must say you're looking very smart.
Oh, yes, older. The old tight-fitting leather outfit has all the go these days.
Yes. Now, what's this printed across... What is it, this... printed across the back of your jacket?
The panther, yes. That's me, sir. How do you like the skull and crossbones on me crash helmet?
Yes, very impressive.
Yes.
Yeah, I should think you've cut a pretty... I should think you've cut a pretty dashing figure up and down your bike, eh?
Oh, yes.
Tell me, sir, have you done a ton up the Great North Road?
Aye?
I mean, have you... I mean, a ton, sir. It means, have you achieved 100 miles an hour?
What? On a penny farthing?
For most of us, leisure usually means pleasure, but there are those who prefer to occupy their spare time with a really worthwhile activity. Take, for instance, that nationwide fever to do it yourself. I suppose that being a home handyman is a worthy attribute, but can this sort of thing go too far?
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles.
Well, what do you think of the new house?
It's divine. I hardly believe you did it all yourself.
Well, I did.
Well, you're so handy, Bandy. The decorations are so professional. How long did it take you?
Oh, mere 18 months.
Ooh.
Just look at the furniture.
Oh, you're not going to tell me you made the furniture.
I am. I certainly did. I knocked it up from some old beer barrels.
Really?
Yes, I did. Oh. I call it my bittersweet.
Oh, you are an old do-it-yourself wag.
I mean, it's so much more economic. Mm. Now, what do you think it cost me? Go on. Here. Have a go.
Well, you couldn't buy a suite of furniture like this under £150.
Oh. Cost me £300.
Oh, never mind. I'll try out one of your new chairs.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rodders, who sat on my power-operated hand drill.
Have you got a garage?
Have I got a garage? I put it up myself.
You didn't.
I did. 3 times.
Well, I don't know. This do-it-yourself craze has certainly got a hold on you.
Oh, Rodders, how terrible of me. I haven't offered you a drink.
Oh, no, it's all right, Charles. I'm on the wagon. But I tell you what, though, I'd love a glass of milk.
But of course, here you are.
What's this?
That pail. You'll find the cow in the kitchen.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be peep shows do they need looking into. Also, next week's program, we shall be bringing you an excerpt from the new musical by Antonin Newley called The Strange World of Julian Slade. There'll be a discussion on the great controversy about how to pronounce the word controversy. And there'll be a cookery talk given by a well-known MP on how to make a cabinet pudding. Using your own constituents. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. If laundry workers staged a walkout, would they be striking while the iron is hot? Good night. You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show. Under contract was Kenneth Horne. Under pressure were Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Janet Waters, and the Hornets. Under the influence of Paul Fennelly were the BBC Variety Orchestra. Under fire, scriptwriter Eric Merriman. And under observation, our producer, Jake Sprout.